dangerous.
Every Artist Podcast. That was the lovely Terry Dexter. Our special guest today, my name is Maze Santiago, and my co-host is Lisa.
Hey.
All right. Do we have our special guest on today?
Hi. Can you
What's
hear
up,
me?
Terry? Yes, we can hear
Hi.
You loud
Hello,
and clear.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good in beautiful L.A. with the weather, and I heard it's beautiful in the East.
We trying to. It's a little okay. We got a little bad weather today, but it's all good. We just want to jump right into it.
Sure.
Yeah, we had a little rain today, but the sun came out right after that. So we're gonna jump right into it. We have the lovely Terry Dexter online right now with us. I just had to play that better than me so everybody can remember who she is. In case you. Living under a rock somewhere, you don't recognize that beautiful voice that is Terry Dexter. So, Terry, yeah, amazing throughout and through. So we're just going to ask you a couple questions. First question is, if you could please Just tell us, how did you get your start in the business?
Well, first, thank you all for having me today. I'm very honored to be with both of you and talking and chatting, and just thank you for having such a wonderful platform, first of all. So kudos to you both.
Our honor.
I started actually as a kid. I started in the church. My uncle's a pastor, so in his Baptist church at 9, and I just started singing every Sunday and leading the choir and solos, and I started singing around Detroit in different churches as a child as well. You know, when he would be a guest pastor, I would be the performer. You know, he'd bring me with him. And then I got into a band. I was part of a band called TriStar right after that, about 10 years old. And it was three guys and me, three little boys and me, and we'd sing cover songs, and we started doing a lot of shows on the weekends and making a little money, you know, as kids. and that really kind of honed a lot of my performing skills and learning how to perform with a band and perform live. And then I met a woman named Cynthia Gurdy when I was about 11, and she's worked with a lot of different artists in Detroit and in the music industry as well. So she kind of took me under her wing. She saw me at a show and called my mom, and I started working with her for a couple of years. I mean, she really groomed me, you know, taught me how to perform and sing and how to just and write, you know, everything. Every single day after school, I'd spend time with her. And then I was 13 when I got my first record deal with Elektra. So, yeah, 3 years with her, literally every day working and learning how to do everything that it entails to be a professional singer and artist. I learned through her. And then at 13, I was signing my first deal, and that was the start, really, at that level, you know, at having a record deal and recording. So, yeah, I've always done it. I would say church, started in the church, and then professionally at 9, doing sessions as well in the studio, background sessions. And then at 13, I had my first solo deal. Yeah, so I was a little one when I, yeah.
That is really a testament to your actual talent to be able to get signed at such a young age. That is amazing. And I was reading somewhere that you actually worked with the great Simply Red. Is that, am I correct on that?
I was before my first year. I was a little kid, but with Cynthia, she's the one that brought me into the session, and it was a couple of grown women in there, and there's this little girl, me and my mom, and I had already been really working with her, learning harmonies, and because it's a skill to sing with people, you know what I'm saying, to sing in as a quartet, or, you know, to learn to harmonize and sing together. And she really taught me that. So that was, I had done a couple sessions before the Simply Red session, but I just remember being a little kid and then my mom and I had seen him on TV, you know what I mean? And I'm in the studio and I'm looking at him and I'm like, I just remember that. That's the guy with the hair, he can sing. And I was just so, I still have to be professional and not be too excited, but I do remember that first moment I saw him and I was like, wow, you know.
So how did that change your life at 13? I mean, that's something big to step into the music industry that way. And, like, mm-hmm. what changes did you have to make? Did it change your relationships with your friends and family?
You know, I definitely didn't. I'd say I had a very interesting childhood and upbringing. But what I mean by that is I had an amazing family, and that's key. My mother and father and my entire family, I have three sisters, everybody was very supportive. So my mom and dad would trade off. I was never in a session or studio by myself. I mean, my mother was there every second, and Cynthia was also like my second mother. It definitely did alter my – I wasn't playing outside with kids. I was in studio or doing shows on the weekend. I also started making income, you know, as a child, so which was, you know, pretty much unheard of at that age, you know, with my other friends. It's like they had gone to the store to buy candy, like or clothes, or even as a teenager. I mean, I pretty much financed everything myself, you know, my first car and all that. And but yeah, when you're a kid like that around working with a lot of adults, of course, my mother, dad was always there, or Cynthia, but you you learn, you become mature. You know what I mean? Your communication is a lot of times dealing with adults day in and day out with what you love the most, which for me was music and singing. So I definitely matured me a lot. And then, of course, you know, with school, that's another thing. Actually, in high school, I was a great student. I worked hard, but a lot of my high school experience was on the road. I did a lot of my tests and work and homework and stuff on the road. So I got permission. My mom and family got it from a school that I could miss a lot of school, but as long as I kept my grades up. So it was definitely, I would say, a little bit of an alternative experience, but at the same time, I did have a wonderful childhood as well and youth, because what I just love to do music and I love to sing, and it wasn't anything that anybody forced me to do. It's what I wanted to do. So that made it a lot better for me too. When I did have to miss out on the dances or the parties or all the things that my friends were doing or the playground, because I love to do music and I wanted to go to the studio myself, you know? So yeah,
that
I would say
makes
yes,
a difference.
For sure. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, yeah, for sure, yeah.
So tell us about your influences, your musical influences, something that kind of, like, helped shape the voice that you have right now.
Yeah, I would definitely say the church, coming up as a little girl, kid. Well, you know, actually, I started writing songs when I was a little girl, and I would make up, I would, like, see a toy and then write about it and make up my own melody and sing it, I would force everybody in my family to hear my songs. I remember I was like, sit down, I got a song, you know, and they were like, okay. My father, he's the one, he played a lot of music in the house. I mean, everything, all different genres. My dad is a big music lover. I did find out later my dad was an amazing singer as a kid, but he doesn't really talk about it, you know. But anyway, so my father really inspired me to by playing a lot of music all day and night, you know, and kind of educating me and my sisters about different singers. And it was my father who then took me to the church, my uncle's church, when I was nine, and said, you know, you're going to start singing in the church because that's what Aretha did and that's what all the good singers do. We were already going to church, but I wasn't really speaking up to say I wanted to be in the choir. We were, of course, going to church every Sunday, but then I never said, I want to be in the choir. And my dad was like, oh, you're going to be in the choir, because my father really felt that coming up and learning how to sing in church was the best foundation. And I have to agree. So, yeah, I would say church, artists like Aretha Franklin, a lot of my father's favorites, Motown artists also like Stephanie Mills, and then Mariah Carey, I loved her coming up, and Toni Braxton, that was my era, looking up to these women. And you know, Whitney Houston, of course, she was like my biggest idol as a little girl. Like, I have to be like her, you know.
I think that was all of our little idols.
Yeah. Oh,
did you get a lot of comparisons? When you came into the industry, did you get a lot of comparisons to Mariah Carey? Because there's a lot of pictures when I was compiling everything and I was, you know, doing my research. I seen a lot of pictures that you and Mariah kind of look like sisters. It's uncanny. Like, the resemblance is very uncanny. Did you get a lot of that when you first came into the industry?
You know, I think when I first came in with my Warner Brothers project, I would say that's when people really saw me, and I didn't really get her date, because I think more people were really focused on, I think, first where I'm from, Detroit, and then the sound of my voice. You know what I mean? So, like, I remember that was kind of how the label presented me before my actual album came out. They wanted to do something where it's like, let's put the voice out first and then have the image later. So the whole Detroit and then kind of that my voice, I didn't really hear a lot of Mariah. And I know what you mean, because of her look, you know, and her being interracial as well. But I didn't really get that as far as the look, because they kind of put my voice out. I was on a couple soundtracks even before my album came out, so people heard my voice, and then I did the Eric Benet record, and they were like, oh, then there she is. And by that time, they kind of had this Detroit story. I would get vocally compared to people like, it was always a young version of somebody else. You know, she's a young version of Aretha. She's a young version of Stephanie Mills. I got her a lot. Actually, a whole
you
lot.
You do have
her
a soulful voice. Your voice is
yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing. Like when I listened to that Purple Rain live performance that you did, I literally just my mouth just dropped. Like there's so much soul in your voice, it's amazing. Like that old soul raw, you know. Like they don't even do that anymore. You got your Fantasias, but you're kind of like on that same plane vocally as like the Fantasias, like the raw soul.
Thank you. It comes from the church, you know. You go to church and. In Detroit or any city in America, I'm sure the Baptists especially, you know, we express a lot through our music. You know, we just shoot my church coming up. We sang 9 songs and you know, during services. You know what I mean? We can't stop singing. It's like my uncle will be another song. He's finished another portion of the service and it'd be like it would always be this. Where my niece at? Come on up and sing something. So I was like, oh, I gotta go. So I got another song I gotta sing. You know, so you know, coming up in the Baptist church, it really gives you a sense of grounds you, and you learn young how to connect with your soul and how to, you know, sing with God through you through to people, and it just gives you that foundation. The other part of that too, though, I have to admit, is Detroit. You know, Detroit has a sound. I didn't realize it coming up through there, but we have a sound that a lot of Detroit singers and musicians, no matter what era you're from, you know, from back in the day to today, there is a sound that's very specific to Detroit. So I have to also acknowledge detail.
Yeah, rightfully so, because you guys, I mean, Detroit is like the bed of like, from like even before Motown, there's like so much talent coming out of Detroit. It just, I mean, even to this day, even like different genres of music. You got Clark Sisters, you got Kiara Sheard, you got Motown, you got Aretha Franklin, you got Diana Ross. I mean, the list just goes on and on. It's just amazing that so many people came from that city. You know, it's amazing.
Yes, and another, I'll add a little bit more to that too. It's the music part. We are inspired by what's around us. But I will tell you, there's also a spirit in Detroit. There's a way about us, too, that comes through musically. You know what I mean? Because music is just an extension of who we are as well and how we express ourselves as people. You know what I mean? And so, like, if you, like, the heart of Detroit, the mannerisms, the way that we think, how we, you know, there's this depth of Detroiters, and especially like my dad's generation. If you see my family, my aunts, my cousins, like they are just so full of rich life, and you know, from the history of Detroit, and just you know, because we're the Motor City, a lot of history in our city, and it just comes through us as people. And then if you're a singer, a musician, or artist, or an expressionist, it's just going to naturally come through how you express yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
That's a big part of it too.
You have a lot of experiences, and sometimes when you're singing, you sing from your soul, you sing from experiences. I think they were saying that, you know, you're not a good artist until you have gone through some things.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, that's true.
And by the history of it, that's probably why when you sing with an experience. It touches the soul, which is what music is supposed to do.
Exactly. You're exactly. And it's have y'all been to Detroit yet?
I have not been to Detroit yet.
I drove past Detroit, leaving Chicago to go to New York.
Well,
but I never got a chance to stop there.
It's a place where there's so many layers, and it's a place where you just have to put your feet and stand in the city, and you'll feel so much through your spirit there. You know what I mean? Like, of course, knowing somebody or having somebody show you around is also wonderful too. But it's just one of those places where it's just a great energy. You just have to be there and just kind of close your eyes and let it flow through you. It's that kind of place, you know, that kind of city.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so that's so proud.
You know,
right.
You know, the first time that I encountered Terry Dexter was during we were doing the live sessions with Eric Benet. and you were singing Spend My Life With You. That was my first experience of getting to know who you were as an artist. And but at the first, and then, and honestly, I have to be honest, I did not know your name at the time. I actually thought you were one of the Smollett siblings. So I thought you were, like when you first came out, I was like, oh, look at Journey grow up. And I didn't even know she could sing like that. The whole entire time.
I thought that too. I kept thinking Eve Vai with that. I was like, is that the same girl?
Yeah, a lot of people say that, that you know, I've actually had a couple people like, hi, Journey. But it's a wonderful compliment because she's a great talent all around and a beautiful lady too. So
exactly.
I get her a lot. But it's all good.
Yeah.
And actually, I think she sings too. Actually, I think she does. Right?
I've never heard her sing. I think that whole family is like musically talented or something like that. I knew they had this TV show back in the day in the early 90s. They had like a TV show ensemble. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she does. So that makes sense.
Can you tell us
your experience in the music business? Like, you know how they make it seem as if, you know, you're pretty much finding your soul away for the music. Did you experience that, or like, I know that you said that you had your parents there, and it was pretty grounded, but did you see any of it from the inside out with other artists?
Sure. I starting so young and also at the level that I did, you know, with the first start recording as a solo artist was extremely young. And at that time, you know, I mean, it was, I always talk about it. I'm sure it's the same now. I mean, I of course still record and release now, but man, back then it was like such a big business, you know, it was big, everything, so much fun. Everything was just massive, if that makes sense, compared to what I feel now. Cause I think now everything, we have a lot of access with internet and social media. Back then, we didn't have that. And so when artists came out, you had magazines and television, and it just, there was a lot more superstardom going on, big, giant labels, a lot of money, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, you know, it was a lot going on. And I will say that not only was it my parents who didn't play, you know what I'm saying, but Cynthia, who was my mentor, when I signed my first deal, and she traveled with me, so I traveled all around the country recording, she was always there. Even as a teenager, I was never allowed to go anywhere by myself, and she taught me a lot about the industry. She was also a young artist signed back when she was a kid and a teenager and a young woman, and she really mentored me about, this is how you conduct yourself, this is what to look out for, this is how to handle yourself. And I had her and my mom and my other family, but particularly her, because she had the same experience, really guiding me along the way. Yes, I've seen things. Yes, I've seen everything, okay? I mean, the industry is no joke. But I also was smart enough in learning, just by having my own self-pride and love, also the support of my family, and also, you know, all the advice that Cynthia gave me. So when I was signed to Warner's and I was 18, I mean, I was by myself at that time, living in New York City, you know, being 18 years old and having, you know, having to conduct yourself as an independent woman in this big business around a lot of people, you got to really know. And so I used all of that knowledge and mentorship and support and just the knowing. And I was able to say no to things that I felt were uncomfortable for me. There were certain situations where, you know, it could have went a certain way, but I knew how to handle it to make sure that I was safe, that, you know, that I did have to make a lot of decisions that were, you know, that would have had me go against my own value, you know what I'm saying, and beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I've never done anything that I felt that I would regret later or went against my own values. And that's a lot of what happens, especially to women, you know, being especially a really young female artist. I mean, at the time I was just constantly having to deal with you know, my image and other things, you know what I'm saying, or other requests, you know what I'm saying. But as a young female artist, I just learned to be strong and to say no, and then also having and also understanding that your talent and that your gift is bigger than anything. Meaning, no matter what anybody says, put your gifts and your talent in the forefront and let that guide you as well. You know what I'm saying?
So
that's another thing too.
Mm-hmm.
With
the artists or the individuals that are trying to get into this industry now, you know they have, you know, America's Got Talent, American Idol,
yes,
and things of
yes.
that nature. So what advice would you give these upcoming artists as far as getting
yeah.
into the industry and then keeping to who they really are instead of being changed
right.
into totally what the label wants them to be?
Oh, yeah. Young up-and-coming artists, it's a great time for artists to really be able to dictate and have the freedom to create and present themselves the way that they want and the way that their heart says because of access today, right? So it's an amazing time actually because artists now are more independent. So you really don't have to rely so much on a major label and have to do all the things or feel like, oh, I gotta do things that I really don't want to do because there's only one outlet for me to be an artist or have my music out, right? So that being said, number one, just stick to your talent and your gift. What I always tell artists, no matter who it is, let your gifts and your talents dictate and lead the way for you. Does that make sense? Meaning you love and you believe in your gift, the gift itself, meaning like you know that your gift has a certain value, enough that you can decide, say yes or no to certain things, depending on is it really valuing your gift and your passion and what's inside of you. You know, so if you really learn to value your gift and stick to your sound, your style, say what you want to say in your music, present yourself the way that you believe the value of your gift is, then everything will fall around it securely, if that makes sense, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah,
very important.
Let your gift lead. You know, gifts
right.
are sacred. They're special. They're important. They're so much. They're your heart. So it's like putting your heart out there. Your gift is really your heart. Let that lead the way. It'll decide everything for you. It'll give you the strength to say no. It'll guide you through any situation. And I believe a lot of artists forget to do that. You know, they forget
right. a lot
to
of
do
artists
that. And
they end up compromising
right.
themselves for chasing the fame
exactly.
instead of taking the time out and let everything just kind of happen with their talent. Like you said, you
yeah.
put the talent for it. Make that the
put
focus.
Put it forward.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you really look at a lot of the great superstar legendary, like let's just say Prince. I mean, I'll bring him up because he's a great legend. And, you know, and we've all heard the stories where at first, they were questioning him, like, what is it? What are you doing? Why? And even though he was really talented, he just stood his ground because he let his talent, his vision, and his gift dictate and decide what he was going to do, even if it meant saying no to a label that wanted to take him and change everything about him or tell him, what are you wearing? We don't want to see that. Or we don't really like the song. Can you write it like this? He was like, nope, because my gift and my vision is more important. My gift and my vision dictate what I'm going to do. And that's why,
right.
I mean, look, the guy became a legend. So there's a lot of
right.
greats like that as well. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Just one sentence. Let your gift dictate and lead the way in your career. That is all it is. That's all it
so
is.
Do you think that it ever be, is there an age limit to it? Do you think, because I would love for people to not give up on their talent and their dream just because they didn't do it. Even at such a young age that they could have, like they could be 40 years old and still be able to pursue music. Do you think that's still an opportunity for them?
Oh, gosh, yes. Because of access. You know, when I first was signed as a young girl, there was only one way to make a record. You can only come out by getting signed to a major label. You couldn't barely even do it with an indie label. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to go to the major labels, and that was pretty much the only way that you could have access to even showing your, you know, going out and exposing your music. Nowadays, though, oh, my gosh, I mean, there's so much you have. The power is in the artist's hands. It really is. I mean, the social media is so huge. There's so many great singers, no matter who it is on there. You know, you can go to Instagram, you can go to like SoundCloud. You can go and be on a reality show. There's a bunch of music shows that people can be showcased on too. There's just so many ways that you can expose your music, and because of that, it has broken every barrier. Not only age, look, culture, type. I mean, I'm seeing everything, and I'm so excited for music folks. No matter what kind
That's
of music
good.
You want to express. Yeah, it's such a great time, and I think it's just going to keep getting better, just as, you know, internet and social media is expanding every day. There's something new. As just if you're an artist coming up today and you're 60 and you're off the chain and you got this great talent, shoot, you can create a page on all of those sites and get so much exposure. I mean, it's so there's absolutely no rules, not like there used to be. I mean, I would say it's definitely a great time to be any kind of music artist and be able to record or expose your music or sing or whatever you want to do with your talent and be heard, be seen and heard today. It's a lot easier for sure.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to go
yes.
right into a song. And when we get back from the song, we have more with the R&B sensation, Terry Dexter.
Thank you.
Over time, I've been building my castle of love just for you, though you never knew you were my reason. I've gone much too far for you now to say that I've got to throw my castle away. Over dreams I have fished out a perfect come true. Though you never knew it was of you I've been dreaming. The Sandman has come from too far away for you to say come back some other day. And though you don't believe that they do, my dream, I'm true when I looked at you, and maybe too if you would believe, you too might be overjoyed, overloved over me. Over heart I had found what I searched to discover. I've come much too far for me now to find the love that I thought can never be mine. And though you don't believe that they do, they do come true. Oh, did my dream come true when I looked at you, and maybe too if you would believe, you too might be overjoyed, over love, over me. A chance, and maybe with a chance you will find.
right, we're back. This is Every Artist Podcast. We have the R&B sensation Terry Dexter's online with us. I have a quick question, Terry.
Sure.
Who could? Okay, I have a quick question. Who are your dream collaborations that you like? Three, like out of maybe two or three people that you would love to collaborate with.
Oh gosh, we just played one of them. would love to work with Stevie Wonder. I've actually performed. How do I say? I performed at an event where he was actually twice, a couple charity events where I performed, and then he performed at the end. And then one of them, we all the artists got to sing with him around the piano, and I was like, I'm gonna faint, I'm gonna fall on the floor. But shared great conversation with him, but I still, you know, I wasn't able to that day to go, do I have something to ask you? But I wasn't ready for that. But I would love to work with him. Oh my gosh, I just think that would just be masterclass. And then of course, you know, just being able to sing with this amazing gem of a musician would be awesome. So definitely Stevie Wonder. Gosh, well, one of my idol, literally, she passed, so I always wanted to work with her. That's Aretha Franklin. So, but I will say, I know I was that. That was like a whole week just because she's literally my biggest idol. I love her.
Okay,
and would you consider doing a remake of one of her songs, and that way it'll be like you're singing with her?
Yes. That's definitely something I will do is definitely do a cover of something of one of her many amazing songs. I was just listening to her gospel project the other day. It's so crazy. This woman is just my favorite.
Amazing.
I mean, I grew up loving her, and oh my gosh, yes. So that was definitely. But yeah, you're right. I won't say the fact that she has transitioned into spirit. It doesn't mean that I can't still honor her and sing one of her songs. So that I will do. And then somebody. Another artist I would love to work with is her. I love her. She's amazing. I love her music. She's just so super talented, and she's real special. So I'd love to do a collaboration with her. So
yeah, that would be
three
dope.
So far.
That would be
yeah,
actually that would be
amazing.
Really dope to hear that.
Yeah.
Like I could hear your
she's,
voice.
Yeah,
I could definitely hear your voice on some type of Aretha remake. Oh man, I could just hear it in my ears right now. It's just amazing.
I just did a little while we've been on quarantine, you know, and I started doing I sing a lot, sing all day long, and because I, you know, we can't perform and do a lot of our career, especially in the entertainment business right now, so we're all kind of chilling. And so I just started singing, you know, I just go around and I start sharing a couple lines or a couple, you know, sing a little bit to the folks and share it. Hey, you know, that's what I do and I love it. And so
well, sharing is caring. You can share right now.
Yes. you know, I never really thought as much about until the recent quarantine, but just singing whatever I feel that day. I'll say, I want to capture this really quick. And it's just an amazing, I just feel so good just connecting with the world and whatever gifts you have, if you're able to share it during these challenging times, it would be, you know, just a great gift and receiving and giving. So I've been receiving so much from the world, and if you have something to give, give it back. So I've been singing on social media, just posting, and I just love it. So my most recent one is an Aretha Franklin. I haven't posted this yet, but I will soon. So it's so funny that we're talking about her. I had the song Ain't No Way in my head for a while, and I was like, okay, I'm about to fall out of my chair. I'm going
to
record it.
Can we hear just like a little
Can we just like one
it?
Line?
I mean,
just like one
I'm
line
I'm trying
of
to
that.
Pull it out of you. Just a little snippet.
Just like one or two lines. But if the spirit takes you, you can just go away with it. Just do it.
Well, you know what? No, you know, I was about to do it, but you know what? I was just about to. Ain't no way, yeah, for me to love you, yeah, if you won't let me.
amazing.
So I
thought you was gonna get to the climax. I was about to, man. Is she gonna go
join
there?
In, you know.
I was about to join her. I was like, hey.
Because then I'll have to sing the whole song. Because that's where I could comfortably stop. But then if I keep going, y'all gonna have to sit there for at least 3-4 minutes. So.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, I recorded a little bit more of that, but just, you know, on my iPhone. It was a couple of days ago. I was like, you know,
yeah.
I feel like I want to. And I've been kind of like thinking, do I want to post it maybe? But now talking today and really, you know, just being inspired, and you both are awesome. I'm going to post that.
Yes, okay? Awesome. A round of applause for that.
Thank you.
Because your voice is like, it's like that old soul. Like, you know, like, and when you sing songs like Purple Rain, Aretha Franklin, and
mm-hmm.
just those soulful type that can really capture the essence of your voice, it really just transcends to a whole nother level for the listener.
Thank you. You know, and with young singers, when I was a little kid, that's important too, is really listening to a lot of, you know, singers like the Arethas and the Whitneys, and there's so many, you know, that to refer to. I mean, that's kind of that's how I honed it, by just listening over and over again to those type of singers, to Stevie's, so many great singers. And just what happens is your ear starts to pick up, and then you start to copy certain things, or you sing along, you start learning harmonies. It's just a great way to kind of, when you're a child especially, to hone your voice. I tell all my friends who have musical children, you know, they call me, oh, my son is singing now, or my daughter's singing now. And their little children, their kids, it's real young, and I always tell them the same thing. Get all the great, get all the music, whatever
genre
that they're geared towards. Because one of my friend's sons is like a rock and roll, he's so talented. He's like a rock and roll, like it's crazy. He's like this young Mick Jagger. He's only like 7, you know, and he can sing. He's got this whole. So I told him, get all the great rock, like vintage bands and some of the current bands too that kind of have that similar feel or really talented rock bands. I gave him a few, and I just said, have him listen to all this stuff day in and day out, and this is the best way to absorb it. So I would say a lot of the, you know, inspiration for singing and how you hone your voice, you do have to find your own sound and your own style, of course, and that'll come through. It's just really listening, especially being as a kid when we're sponges, you know, to a lot of the really high, you know, quality talented folks, and you'll learn a lot from there. So that's definitely where I would say, you know, especially as a kid, I got that from. I mean, it came over time, but I just never stopped listening to those type of artists, and that's still very important for any young artist, you know.
Right.
Make sure you're listening to the masters. That could be a couple artists today too, even the young ones. I mean, for me, I learned as a kid, I was listening to everything, but it was also my dad kind of like, you need to listen to this, you know, this is the best. But there's enough really good, talented young artists today, like, that they can relate to as well. I would say make sure you're still throwing in there at least some of the greats, you know, the vintage, amazing legend artists. But
my
son
smiles at singing when I sing Al Green to him for the good time.
Really?
Yes. He put on a green, whatever he's doing, he stops what he's doing just to listen.
Wow. How old is your son?
He's one.
And already, see? And that's the testament to valuable music. Yes.
Right.
So you sing it to him. You're saying you sing it to him.
Yeah, I sing it to him. I sing it to him to get him to go to sleep.
Oh.
So he'd be like, lay your head on my pillows, boy. Go to sleep.
Oh, I love it. See, and that's such a timeless Al Green and that song. I mean, it's just so timeless. You see timeless music, what it said, the power of that, you know? It's amazing.
Can you tell us about this amazing relationship that you have with the godmother of soul, Patti LaBelle?
Miss Patti. I met her through a great mentor, big brother, father figure of mine named Sammy McKinney. When I was working on the first album that I was doing, I met her. I was about 13 in the studio. Sammy is a songwriter, amazing songwriter, and Gosh, the first day I met Sammy, and he was very close with Patty. They had been longtime friends. And I remember that I was singing in the studio, Little Girl, you know, and he was like, because he's written and worked with a lot of great talents and great singers. And at first he was like, I don't know. And then I started singing. When I started, of course, in the mic singing, he was like, come out here. And I got to introduce you to somebody. And I met Patty that day. And through Sammy, I mean, she just, wow, just over the years, I mean, just a great mentor for me. She gave me the best advice all the time. Any show, you know, whenever we were in the same city, I go to her show and I would try to hide because she would know I was there and then, like, call me up on the stage every time, you know, to sing with her. And I'd be so nervous, like, oh, my God. Oh, and I was trying, like, it was so funny. And I ended up singing a lot of times with her. She was like, Terry, come on up. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do this.
You sound just like her.
You know what I mean? Like, imagine you're at, like, any theater. So I tell Sammy, don't tell her I'm here. And he's like, okay, I won't tell her. And then he's like, yeah, whatever, I'm telling her. And he would tell her, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of her show, it'd be like, every single time this happened so many times I can't count, she would just, I'd hear, Terry Dexter, come up here to the stage. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Here she is. And then, you know, everything, whatever song she was singing at the moment, she'd give me the mic. And, yeah, she would give me the mic like, yep, go on, do your thing to the audience. And that would be a great lesson. I was a teenager doing that with her. Can you imagine, like, learning how to, you know, just on the spot with the greatest, you know what I'm saying, and sing one of her amazing songs. But, yeah, just, gosh, writing with her, performing with her, she's brought me on different shows. I mean, I just adore her and love her, and she, like I said, she's always been such a great support, great advice to me, great mentor. She's the one that told me over the years, girl, you know, it's your talent. That's, when you have talent, no matter what's happening, you through the ups and downs, you will always be able to make music and work. When you are at a certain level of talent, forever you'll be able to work. I remember her telling me, one of the first things she told me when I was 13, and over the years as a reminder, don't let your, like I said, talent lead the way. And that was a big key for me to, no matter what, make, you know, work with certain projects, you know, through she, and I look at, I think about it today, like, gosh, she was right, you know, like, I'm constantly getting opportunities to do music with amazing people, and that's what talent does. You know, when you have a certain level of talent, you'll always be able to make music and work. You'll always be able to create. There's always a next project for you, you know, and that's what she told me. No matter what, that's going to allow you to have a lifelong career. And of course, she told me all the, you know, how to, of course, conduct myself as a woman, young lady, class, how to be classy, also have fun. I mean, I've learned so much through her and her as mother. That's what I call her, mother.
I'd be happy being her grandchild, her godchild. You know, just invite me over for a cookout or something.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, has she ever cooked for you? Or, I mean, because everybody knows she's an amazing cook. So have you ever had the opportunity to go over to her house and eat or anything like that?
I'm trying to remember we've, of course, been out and then in Philly, but I'm trying to remember if she actually cooked. Now, what I do know is Sammy learned a lot. I mean, Sammy was an amazing cook, but he of course, he always would, of course, give props to Patty. Like, she's the best cook. Sammy was, like, a legendary cook, songwriter, my friend Sammy. And he talked about, he said, I learned a lot of my recipes through Patty. So when Sammy would have a dinner, sometimes she would come, of course, but, you know, like, he would cook, but it was in teaching him, you know what I mean? So I would say that I did experience her flair for cooking through Sammy because, I mean, they known each other over 20-some years at the time. I mean, and she taught him a lot of the recipes, so then he would cook a lot of things that she taught him. So I got to experience that, and to this day, it's, like, the best food I ever had. I mean, Sammy was off the hook.
But he had the best of both worlds.
oh man, Sammy was legendary. I mean, when Sammy was having a dinner party, ooh, people would fly in. I mean, they were, like, not playing with his food. I mean, he was amazing, but he would always remind, like, I learned through Patty. I learned how to cook through her. So I would say definitely, I mean, Sammy had his own, of course, talent for cooking, of course. I think that's a talent in itself, right? But he would remind me, like, Patty taught me this or Patty showed me how to make this. And yes, I do know how to make a couple things myself. A couple things.
Can you, do you know the secret recipe for that pie?
Oh, girl, I wish, right? Oh, my gosh. I mean, she cooks, like, everything good, though, right? Oh. And she has good taste in choosing food. Like, if she says, let's go here or go eat here, it's off the hook. You know, not everybody can do that. You know, like, refer restaurants or certain dishes at restaurants. Like, how many people do we really know that no matter what they refer, like, or what kind of food or dish that they suggest at a certain restaurant, it's going to be off the hook? She's like,
right.
100% right. But every single time, it can be, it don't care if it's a hole in a wall or if it's a 5-star place. And she's like, this food is good. It is amazing. Yes. And I don't know anybody like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people I know are like maybe 70% correct. You know what I mean? Or there might be some good track record people, but she's always correct. Like, we got to go to this hot dog place or whatever, you know, or go to this barbecue place or go to this. Or just whatever food that she suggests, or what restaurant. It was always amazing. You know what I'm saying? So that's nothing. She has great taste too.
Have you ever had the opportunity to perform at the Sugar Bar in New York? It's the restaurant performing lounge that Valerie Simpson has up in New York.
I have an even better story for you for that place. I wanted to make sure it was right. Yes, the Valerie Simpson place with. So, okay, I'll share a story. It's a wonderful story. I've only been there once, and it wasn't actually for a show. This is what happened. I was with Patty. I was with Sammy, Valerie, and wait, was she there? You know what? I'm not sure. So for sure, Patty, Sammy, I think Valerie. Yeah, because she opened the place. It was closed. We went there. That's right. She opened it. And guess who else was there? Maya Angelou.
Wow.
She was there. Yes. And this
I
is
love
what
Maya.
I'm sharing this with y'all because I just adore y'all. It was after Patty was in was she in the movie or had music in the movie? I can't even remember the movie at the time. We went to the premiere. We went afterwards to Sugar Bar. There was nobody there. It was closed. There was nobody there. And I just remember I was nervous because Maya was like, this is, an icon, right? And Patty, we're all sitting at the table. And Patty says, Terry, I want you to sing for Miss Maya.
Oh, wow.
What do I sing? What for? You know what I mean? And she said, Terry, sing. Please sing. Because she was telling her about me. She's a great singer, you know, and just, you know, giving me love. And then she said, Terry, sing for Miss Maya. But, I mean, you got to get up and sing. When Patty asks you to sing for Maya Angelou, you get up. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, what do I sing for her? Like, what do I sing for an icon like this? Like, you know what I mean?
And you got to do something that's kind of like, you got to be very precise and careful about what song you select for Maya Angelou.
I didn't even know what, I mean, so I just remember, like, it's something, it was, the spirit was in the room. It was such a magical experience and a moment. And I stood up and I stood there and she was standing. She's very tall, you know, standing there. And I was like, what do I sing? And I started singing. I said, little daring boy, sing. That's what I sang for Miss Maya. I sang the Black National Anthem.
Right.
Maybe you got a second sample. Hello. Thank you.
I sang. It just came through me, and I sang it because, you know, I was also doing a tour for the Rush Hour soundtrack, and I would sing at the football games and stuff, the bowls and things. And so it just came through me, and I sang that for her, And she was so wonderful. And she said, thank you. And, you know, she said, I'm going to give you a gift back. You gifted me. I'm going to gift you back. And she recited her amazing, famous, legendary poem, Cage Bird Sing, to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was quite, I knew that had to be like quite an experience just to, wow.
And it's so interesting, I mean, that you brought up that bar, that you just said that, because I haven't ever like verbally in public told that. I think I've told a couple of friends, of course, but it's so, but I'm telling you, that's what happened. That was one of the most amazing, special, I would say, most prolific times in my entire life. You know, it was that night at that place, at Sugar Bar. Yeah. And she has passed on, too. So I always hold that dear. But that place, when you said that, when you just said the name Sugar Bar, when I hear that, that's the moment that I had there. So thank you for that. And I'm, yeah. I hope you all can feel what happened that night through me by sharing
definitely.
Now.
Oh, no, that was
yeah.
awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall just to hear it.
Right.
The both of you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that. Just imagine her singing that song and then her reciting that poem in the same vicinity, in the same room. And I can imagine there probably with a dry eye in the room.
Oh, man. I mean, can you just think about it? It was Sammy who, oh, my gosh, Sammy was an angel. Oh, the most amazing person ever. And Patty and Valerie and me and her. And that was it. That was it. Just us. And you know, the other part, too, is my past. I think, is Valerie? No, she's here, right? She has.
No, yeah, her husband passed.
Her husband, right.
Yeah.
Okay. No, so she's here. Well, yes, thank God. And she's so wonderful and sweet, too. Maya has passed, and then Sammy has passed as well, you know. So that moment, too, was, you know, I go back and I can still see two amazing people that were still with us at that time that have passed on, you know. So, but, yeah, I'm glad I can share that. Wow, I haven't even heard that in so long. And I have to ask you, what made you think of Sugar Bar?
I actually, just knowing – when you mentioned Patti LaBelle and, well, knowing that you guys have a special relationship and Valerie and Patti also have a long relationship as well. And I noticed Patti always frequents the Sugar Bar all the time. So I was, and then you mentioned about the dinner parties and going different places that most people won't even know about. So I kind of thought to myself, I'm like, I wonder if she went to the Sugar Bar, you know, with Patti.
Yeah.
You know?
Boy, did we go there! I tell you. that was one of the most amazing moments of my entire life. You know, it was unexpected and just amazing. You know, the movie at the time. Trying to think of the movie. I think they were based. A lot of the movie was based, or there was some of her poetry was in the movie. Gosh, I can't remember. It was like a. I guess I'm trying to spark everybody's memory, but I can't. It was a movie that was out, and it was like a family movie, but I know Maya was part of
it. Wasn't Tyler Perry's movie. How long ago was it?
Oh, no, this was a lot. This was,
gosh,
a long ago. Gosh, what is her name? Oh, gosh. Audrey Woodruff was in the movie. She was, I think, the lead. Audrey Woodruff, she was the lead in the movie. I can't think. It was a powerful movie, spiritual movie, and I know Maya's poetry. I believe she was either in the movie or her poetry was also in it.
Oh, Down in the Delta?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah,
Alfre
Woodard. Alfre Woodard, Down in the Delta.
Yes. We were at that premiere in New York, and that right after premiere, we went to Sugar Bar. That's that night for that movie. Isn't that something?
Wow.
Wow.
Y'all
moment.
Got me all
That's awesome.
So tell us, what are some of the things you can share with us that you are currently working on right now?
Yeah, so gosh, so quite a few things, actually, and I'm very grateful for that, for sure. So the first thing I'll mention is, gosh, what else? I'm working on a socially conscious project, music project, with a producer named Baby Boy, super talented producer who's like fam to me, too. And we're doing a project that's all socially conscious. I just want every song and lyric to uplift and inspire people at all levels. So that's the goal of what our vision and our purpose for this project is. So that'll be a full-length project, and we started on that. And so that's one thing. And then I do a lot of music. I'm from Detroit, so a lot of the music that I write and record is also in the house music world and electronic world as well. I do a lot of soulful house. I grew up on it. I love it. I've been releasing soulful house records with different DJs over the years since my very first album. So I have a couple of records coming out, actually one soon with a video and everything, with Frankie Feliciano, the great Frankie Feliciano. And I'm so excited about it. It's just like it's a hybrid of soul. There's some vintage feel to it, house, but also kind of like has like a percussion. I mean, it's just a nice hybrid of sound. And Frankie Feliciano, longtime great producer, DJ from New York, and this will be our first outing together as a duo. So I'm really excited about that. That's coming out soon. We're all done with it. Video's ready. Records ready to go. So that'll be you'll see that soon. Yay, I hope you guys. And then I have a couple records now of coming out with Roy Davis Jr., who I've recorded a lot of records with. He's one of my, you know, longtime partners in the house world. So we have a couple records coming out too. And then I have another electronic record coming out with a DJ from Amsterdam. We have a long history of music as well. So we also have a video that we shot last year that's coming out finally. And then that record is coming out with a couple remixes on that too. So I do a lot of music that I love and, you know, grew up listening to as well in the house and electronic world. So that's like three or four of those coming out in the next few months. And then the socially conscious music project is coming out, and I'm excited about that. And that's going to be have more of a gospel flair feel to it, I'd say, but a lot of different sounds in that too. A lot of great, vocals and just soul, a lot of raw soul in that. I just want to really, me and Baby Boy want to really reach out and affect people and heal and inspire people with that particular project. And then I'm also an actress. And
I was just about to ask.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that is something, well, not newer anymore, but it's I would say, has been the newest craft, and it's been a wonderful experience to step into the acting world. So, I'm on a series now. I'm reoccurring on a series called A House Divided on UMC, and it's a wonderful show, wonderful drama, great talent. Our lead actor just got he just got nominated for an Emmy, so we're all excited about him and his nomination now. So yeah, it's a 7-part series. We season 2 is out now, and I think you would love it. It's got everything you could ask for, and it's a wonderful story about family and so many different aspects to it. And I'm sure there's a character or some aspects of the story or all of it that everybody can relate to for sure. And I'm really excited and proud to be part of it. So I play the character Eileen on the series. And yes, you get a chance. Check us out on UMC. It's called A House Divided. Oh. And yes.
I was telling Maeve about seeing you on Deliver Us from Eva, which is one of my favorite movies. but I was thinking more so, did you ever think about acting on a Broadway stage in like a musical with that voice? You know, I'm so like on that voice right now.
Well,
your voice.
Yeah, well, I think you're gonna. I think hopefully, if you get a chance, if you could see this, but I actually got into acting I wasn't wanting to do it. I was so, like, pushing against it. Like, no. I met David Talbert through another friend. Do either of you know who David E. Talbert is?
Yeah, no, all his plays.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, I got into acting because David E. Talbert cast me as I played the lead in a play called Love in the Nick of Time. And I mean, talk about, I was so like, am I sure I want to do this? But he believed and he took a chance and we had such an amazing experience. We toured and then we did shoot a live film version of it. It's also starring Morris Chestnut in it. Maybe you guys, hopefully when you get a chance, if you look up, I think we're on UMC right now, the actual play's on there because we did shoot it. A lot of great Trinis from American Idol is in there, the great, amazing singer as well, and actress. She's been doing a lot of theater as well. And then Avant, the singer's in there, and then Elliot English is featured in there. Yeah, and he's wonderful in there. And then Elliot English, who you would know from different TV shows and films, if you see her, you would know. And then, of course, Morris Chestnut and other great cast members. So, yeah, if you get a chance.
I love Morris.
What's the name of the movie again?
It's called Love in the Nick of Time.
Okay, 2009, right?
Love in the Nick of Time, David E. Talbert.
Actually,
and that
I think I saw that on Netflix, too.
Yeah,
it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on,
I think so, yeah. So mm-hmm. A lot of people, because my hair was kind of blonde, you know, I was going through a phase. But I had, I look a little different now because my hair is now dark again. But I realized some people say, oh, wait, oh, no, your hair was lighter. Oh, you know. But, yeah, that was my first introduction to acting through David. And then that's how I got into the acting world was through that particular project and through that opportunity. Yeah. So if you get a chance. You get a little time, check it out, my first time, you know, acting. And of course, I'm also singing in it, so I was able to blend the two. And, yeah,
right.
I hope if you get a chance, you guys like it.
That was those gifts and talents that Patty was telling you about that
you,
will always keep you walking.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. She said that. And that I hope that if, you know, to everyone listening or everyone here today, that is the thing. That is the key thing is when you have your gift and you understand it and you embrace it, right? Just allow that to stand in front of everything else and it'll guide you through and also give you longevity. No matter what. And that's another thing too with artists, especially young artists, you're gonna have everyone telling you what they want you to do, right? Everyone has their opinion about how you should sing, what you should say, how you should look, what you want to convey. Everybody, there's a whole bunch of opinions, but the only opinion that matters is your own. What you want to sing, how you want to sing, what you want to wear, like it's all you, you know? And so when you believe in that talent and you know, and you can embrace it and acknowledge it, it's really, you know, because there's a lot of artists too that still question. That's another thing. You really have to embrace and understand what you have and not question it. You know, when you're still questioning it, I feel like there's a lot of ins for other people to come and start dictating what you should be doing with your gifts, you know?
Right.
Right.
So
all
it's
right,
really embracing what you have, you know? Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go to a song, but before I do, I'm going to play a little bit of Just in the Nick of Time, Love in the Nick of Time. We'll play a little clip from that as we go into a break real quick.
Okay. Thank you.
Why are you here? Well, you know, got the call about the alarm going off, so I figured I'd come on down and check up on everything, you know. Make sure everything is straight around my club.
Why are you here?
Well, you know, got the call about the alarm going off, so I figured I'd come on down and check up on everything, you know. Make sure everything is straight around my salon. And because I wanted to see you.
You're here for a booty call.
I didn't call. But I'll take the booty. I miss you, baby.
Will she listen?
You too. Yeah, well.
Can't you see the hurt in me? I feel so all alone.
we're back on the Every Artist Podcast, and we're getting ready to close out. We have our special guest, R&B sensation Terry Dexter. I want to personally thank you for joining us today and sharing us your talent, your gift, and also some amazing stories that I think are very special. I actually had to get those two songs in there before we close because I know those are two of your favorite influences. So I had to get those two in there before we actually closed out.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I bet you she
was
singing in the background.
I knew she was. I was like, in my mind, I was like, I know she's singing.
I can see her.
There was. I was like, oh, wait, let me see. Thank you so, so much. You are, both of you are just amazingly awesome. You know, you both have your gift as well to be able to, inspire even myself. I can feel it for me to open up. That's a gift in itself. And I'm so excited for you both, and I can just see you exploding with this amazing platform. So thank you so much for having me today, and sending big love hugs from Los Angeles via Detroit.
And like I shared with Terry last night, she's such a special person. She's our first guest. She took a chance on us to share her gift, her time. You know, we're all going through this difficult time with the pandemic and everything like that, but it's very special. I don't even know. I have so much gratitude for her. And, we hope you come back and share with us your other projects.
Of course.
Or just come on and just hang out with us. You are a delight. My friend, my co-host, Lisa, just texted me and just said she is such a delight to listen to you just talk and just. Yeah, it's amazing.
Because you're just easygoing, you're down to earth, and it's not as if when we're speaking to you that, I drink just my, what the water is, any special water, you have to get me something.
Right.
Special. It was just so easy talking to you, and I think that is what makes your personality and your persona the way it is and receivable, and I appreciate your time with us today. We don't take that lightly.
Yes, and definitely.
It's easy talking to good people. It's easy talking to gifted and warm people. So know that you also are a wonderful energy as well. So thank you both. I really, really, you just made my whole week. So thank you. And again, I'm so excited for you guys. Oh my gosh, I'm excited for you.
Just like I shared with you last night, it's because of you that this platform is really taking off the way that it has. Like, I have so many people lined up to be on the show that I can't even find the time to actually sit down and book these people on the show. And it's really because of you. And I am like I said, your gift is making way for other people, and it's amazing. And we look forward to you
whenever
coming on
this
again.
Pandemic is over, make sure that we, get a chance to get a cup of coffee with you and just talk about some more things and maybe even get a snippet of your voice again. I'm just behind me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Of course. It would be an honor. And, I usually come to New York at least once a year. So, and is that you're based in the East, in New Jersey, New York? Or
yeah, I'm in New Jersey. Lisa's in my home state of Florida. And I'm in.
What part of Florida?
I'm sorry?
What part of Florida are you in? What part of Florida?
I'm in between. Sometimes I'm in Tampa. Sometimes I'm in Kissimmee. I might go to Jacksonville. So I'm all over.
I go to Jacksonville a lot. Okay, I love Florida. I love Jersey. I lived in Guttenberg, Jersey, West New York, for a while too. And then I have friends from Patterson and Newark. So I love it. And Florida, I love Florida. So I love that, y'all. So it's like a triangle, like Jersey, New York, Florida, and then LA. So this is wonderful, like connecting from three different places. That's super awesome. I love it.
So definitely, when all this stuff is over, like I said, the pandemic's over, we'd love to come to one of your shows, support you. Definitely, if you have anything,
you.
I would love to support you on my page. Come on, like I said, come on and talk with us, hang out, whatever. It's just amazing
to
have this time
thank
with you.
You
so we want to thank you.
I definitely, I definitely will. And I see a TV show for y'all coming, so y'all get ready.
Speaking it to existence.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Look, I'm going to have to put
yes.
one of my TV hats on then.
Let's get
all
ready.
Right.
Y'all have it. So thank you so much again, and just sending so much love for you and so much gratitude. So thank you both. Thank you both.
Thank
all right,
you.
Thank you.
Okay. Be kind.
All right, good
have
night.
A great one, guys. Thank you.
You
okay,
too. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye, Sarah. All right, thank you for joining us on the Every Artist Podcast. That's all we have for today. This is a platform for every artist, be it mainstream or be it independent, or anybody in the fashion industry, music industry, television, behind the scenes, in front of the camera, whatever. This platform is for you. So we look forward to you guys joining us tomorrow. We have a special guest from the Clark Sisters movie, the director, Christine Swanson. So if you want to have some questions to someone that's in the industry making moves, please join us tomorrow and get your questions in. Thank you.